In our study of the Gospel of John, going back to that, in our study we have reached, Jesus is on his way to Galilee. He stops in Samaria. He stops singularly. He singles out one woman in the middle of the day at the well, at the division of the road as you go northward. That's Jacob's well. And thus, he's there, and a woman comes. The disciples go to town to get something to eat. And in the process, the Lord waits there, and a woman is there in the middle of the heat of the day. She is not a woman that has to come to the well outside of town. Her reputation is not good. She is a harlot woman, and her reputation, she comes alone to get what she can with the least trouble. Now, in the light of that, our Lord deals with her. That's his whole point. He singled out of all the thousands of people. He stopped and gave very, very precious moments to a woman. Not just any woman, a Samaritan woman, not a Jew, a half-Jew, someone that the Jewish and the Samaritans were miles apart. And thus he gave her time. She did not understand, as we'll see. Thus, we titled the message for good or bad, It's Not a Dream, and there is no need to hide. So let's see how that works out. The Lord exposes the woman, the woman's heart, her personal life. She has it hidden, and she has a veneer up here to protect herself publicly. And in John 4, verse 18, you would recall, or verse 17 for a little better context, 4 and 17. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou sayest truly, I know you've lived with all these six men. You've got a reputation, a way of living, that I know it. I know all about your heart. There's no need to defend, no need to put up a veneer with me. Over in, she needed to know God's word. She needed to know the Messiah was the prophet. As we shared together, he was the prophet of all prophets. He is the word become flesh. And the Lord Jesus, we're told, makes it known that we pay attention and hear ye him. She needed to hear God's word. She didn't know God's word. She was a Samaritan. All they had was the Pentateuch, and they rejected the rest of the Bible, the Samaritans did. So they had the Pentateuch, though. And but they didn't understand. They changed a couple of things so it would fit their setting, as people do. And thus, in the process, she needed to know the word of God. She didn't. Also in the process, she needed an acceptable sacrifice. Because after all, she's been exposed. Her heart, our Lord has exposed her heart. And she has no remedy for sin, no remedy to reconcile herself with God. No way for pardon, as you're saying in the hymn. Pardon us, God. She had no pardon. She had no sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is the great high priest. He's the right one, the predicted one, the promised one. And he's the sacrifice. He's the word. He's the sacrifice. And in the process of that, being the Most High God, he is the right one. He is the King of all kings. He's the Messiah, the Christ, the prophet, the priest, the king. Now, chapter 4, verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things. So the woman, now responding, you have to worship in Jerusalem. And by the way, Jerusalem isn't the issue. It isn't the place, because God's everywhere. We're to honor God wherever we are, in anywhere in existence, our existence. We're to honor God, to worship him in spirit and in truth. And now she says, that's all right, but we know there's a Messiah coming. At least we Samaritans recognize there's one coming, the promised one, Genesis, as we read in Deuteronomy. He's the promised one, the one like unto Moses, that God talks to, knows face to face. He's the one. We know we're looking for the Messiah, the Christ, the King, the prophet. I don't understand it all, but we're looking for him. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah comes. I know that Messiah is coming. I am knowing this, that he is coming. And you pick up in verse 23, the verb, but the hour cometh and now is the word come, same verb. The hour is coming, and that word hour means like the hour on your clock, on a watch, hourly. We say hourly, you have an hourly job. It's an hour. Over in John chapter 4, verse 6, you'll see it, the usage of it. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, set thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, noontime, Jewish time, Roman time. Sixth hour, 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 hours, 12 noon. And he's sitting there at noon, an hour, verse 23. The hour cometh and now is. Right now, it's the hour, the time, woman, to worship. Not a place, a person, God. You're in the presence of him. Verse 25. When he is come, she said, when he is come, he will tell us all things. And he's just revealed to her, her heart. He's exposed her being. When the Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. Now remember earlier, verse 19, when the Lord exposed her heart, her mind, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive, I am looking at you, and I, as a spectator, with great attention, I see that you must be a prophet, a messenger of God. And as he slides down in the conversation, you come to verse 25 and the end. He will tell us all things. And the Lord Jesus answers. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee, I am speaking to you. I who am speaking to you. The Greek, I am him. I am the Messiah. His first written, recorded, direct statement to who he is. Everyone else said, you're the Messiah, the Messiah, the Messiah. This is the first direct statement. He says it. I am the Messiah. So there's no question to anyone, anywhere, who he is to this woman who doesn't know God, doesn't know the word of God, doesn't understand. Over, if you would, in the light of that, in verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And thus in the process now, having said that, and the disciples are now coming back from town. And in the process of coming back, verse 27, and upon this came the disciples and marveled. That means it's a verb of marvel, to be a wonder, to look at one, to look in amazement, to be bewildered. They were literally stunned. Stunned. They marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet, no man, not one of them, said, not one of them opened their mouth to the woman, why are you talking to him, speaking him? What do you want from him? They never said that. They never said, verse 27, to the Lord, why are you talking with her? They never said that. They were very, very quiet. And they did nothing and said nothing. They had learned, you may not understand, but you don't challenge God. You don't have to, may not understand, but sit tight. It doesn't pay to challenge God. You don't have to do it. You don't have to ask a question. They're silent, silent, wonderfully, wonderfully silent. So when it came to what seekest thou, or why talkest, why are you talking to her? Thus, and in the present tense, so the Lord is continuing. Here they come from town with lunch, coming from McDonald's with all their lunch. Enough for 13 of them with French fries. And in their coming, you'll note that the Lord continues to talk to the woman. Now, you need to keep in mind that rabbinic precept, and all kinds of ways to do this, I'm just going to do it one of them. And how did the Jewish rabbi hierarchy, how do they handle this kind of thing? And what is so disturbing to 12 Jews who are looking at our Lord talking to a Samaritan woman, Samaritan, a harlot? And in rabbinical literature, picking up, quote, let no one talk with a woman in the street. No, not with his own wife, unquote. You man would not recognize the woman, would not talk to them, speak to them. And in the process, the standards that they had. And thus it was terrible, terrible what was happening. And they're shocked, they're amazed, and they don't say a thing. They don't know how to answer. They don't know what to say. And the Lord Jesus Christ was shattering their thought process about the whole thing with men and women and all of that. And thus their system. He invaded their system, the barrier that was there between men and women. And he invaded that. He broke it up. He took it down the wall, as it were. So now, in verse 28, the woman then left. After the conversation kept going, the woman left her water pot, left it. She left her water. That was the purpose of coming way out there in the heat of the day to get water. But she left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. Now she's going to go to the community, to the men, to all the, this is not a big town. Sychar is a little town. And she's going to go into, running. She's hurrying back into town. And as she hurries back into town, everyone, she's all excited to be like someone, you can just imagine it if the, in a given community or something, and there was a fire somewhere or something, and you'd run, and everyone you'd meet, you'd be yelling all the way into the town, fire, 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 fire. You'd be saying it. She's so excited. She's going to talk everywhere she goes. She's just saying it, just flowing out of her. Wow. And so as she goes into the city, as she goes in and does that, and she's in a hurry, as I said, she's excited, she has been discovered. that which was tried to keep low-key and hidden, her whole heart has been exposed. And not only has she been discovered, but she has discovered something that she never knew. She's exposed, and she has learned something about God. Now, watch. In the process. And in the process, she tells him, come see a man. Come see a man. Verse 29. Come hither, and see a man which told me all things. Now remember, you read that in the end of verse 25. The Messiah, the Christ, when he is come, verse 25, he will tell you all things. And when he says, I am that one, I am the Messiah, she puts it all together, and that which was dark and hidden from her mind and heart is very clear, and she comes running back. She forgets her water pot. The water isn't an issue. The whole purpose of her going there is not an issue at all. Everything becomes and takes its proper place. She has discovered and been discovered. Wow. And in the process, verse 29, come see a man, which hath told me all things. Who can do that except the Messiah? Ever that I did, remember he said, verse 26, I am who you're looking for. I am, literally, I am the one. I am the one. And, by the way, so now she's come, what's her report? Her witness, her testimony. To the men, to the people. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? Now, interestingly, you won't see it in your English, but in the word N-O-T, not, that's made up of two words. The word a question, to question, and then the word anything, to question anything. And it's translated not, because she was very tactful, very smart in what she did. For her to go and say, I found the Messiah, and no one looks for the Messiah. They knew he was coming, but never would have come from a woman, a Samaritan, a harlot. Never! She was very smart. She said, and again, I'm going to translate for you, is not this the Christ? And thus she's going to say, is not perhaps, because that can be translated, is not perhaps, unless perhaps, could he be the Christ? She didn't say directly. She said indirectly. If she said positively, then say, who are you to say that? But she said, this one is like Christ. Could it be Christ? Question mark. She knew who it was, but she didn't say it that way. Why? Because they would have rejected it. She was very careful, understandably. Now, in the process of that, and then they went out to the city and came unto him. Now, putting this together in a way that will help, I hope, keep in mind what he has done. He's taken a woman, a person, of all the people, hundreds and hundreds of people, he picked one. One woman was going to respond to him. All the rest, not then, not now. But this woman was. And so he sees, and he takes personal care of a nobody in a place that the Jews wouldn't go through Samaria. They wouldn't pass through. They went on the side by the Sea of Galilee, by the Red, the Dead, the uh, Jordan River. They didn't go up. It was the shortest way to Galilee. But they wouldn't go through Samaria. No. So, here's our Lord Jesus Christ breaking all the system traditions and going through the town, and he comes to her and he recognizes and realizes that she doesn't know anything. We share that together. She didn't know the gift. She didn't know who he was. She had no knowledge. In other words, he made wonderful statements in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." She didn't understand that sentence in any way. It passed right over her head. She didn't understand it. Our Lord rolled up his sleeves like with Nicodemus. He rolled up his sleeves and said, "Well, let me be more direct with you." Over, if you would please, to John chapter 3 for a moment. And in John chapter 3, how did the Lord Jesus handle Nicodemus, the Pharisee, Sanhedrin? Verse 4, "Nicodemus saith unto him at night, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Did you understand what he said? No, he said, "I don't." How is that possible? The answer given to him. Verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit of God," Spirit, capital S, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He made a direct statement. Unless you're born again, unless you're spiritually born, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Clear cut. What are you going to tell the woman? Well, she don't understand. So God said, "Listen, let me help you another way. I'm going to go and look at your heart, and you are one needy soul. You got a lot of heart problems. You got a lousy relationship with your life, with yourself, and with God." And she said, "Well, yes, I do, but how do you know all this?" So now having said that and keeping that in mind, that God knows and God cares. God knows and God cares. To have the living water, she didn't understand. Therefore he went straight to her need, as we shared together. And thus she had his attention, And he said directly to who he was to her, as we shared together. And we said that. Now, the woman is now so excited, so engaged, so enlightened. There's no more need to hide. Why? Because God knows all about me. I try to hide from God religiously, socially, philosophically. I try to hide from God, be busy about life, coming and going. I try to do it, but God knows all about me. God has exposed me. God has exposed my heart. And he did so. The sacrifice, the forgiveness, what I need, he is. He is what I need. One person. She was so excited. She hurried home. And came directly, as it were. And thus, no more hiding. No more hiding. She needed not be ashamed to go to the well at noon and to try to avoid everybody alone. No need. Now, is that a problem that God solved for her? Yes. Would you remember in Genesis chapter 3? You may want to turn there. Genesis chapter 3. That's the problem that started in the very beginning. Genesis 3. And picking up in verse 7, remember Adam and Eve have sinned, taken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons to cover them, covered their nakedness. It wasn't a problem until sin. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, around 3 o'clock, in the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? God knew where he was. What did they do? They had to hide. What does a human have to do? They have to hide. You cannot be, and you hide from yourself. Because if you were being exposed to God, how would you pass the test? How would you pass it? Holiness, righteousness. The Creator and the created, we'd never pass the test. So we hide. And God in His grace discovers us. He knows about us. And when we are realized that He knows, then we don't have to hide anymore. We don't have to hide. You'll see it. Let me get to it. Over one other place. Let's go to the other end of the scale. Over to Revelation, chapter 6. And chapter 6, picking up, please, in the light of the judgments, picking up verse 16. All the kings of the earth, the people of the earth, everyone in the earth, wherever they were, they wanted to hide in the rocks and the mountains. I'll read verse 15 to give it, say it. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens of the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks all over the world, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who should be able to stand? So what do we got at the end? Coming the end into the tribulation. He's going to make himself known. And what are we going to do on earth? Not the people. What are we going to do? Go hide. Anywhere. Cover. Den, cave, rocks, anywhere. Under the bed, hide. Then I'm going to hide. God, what did you do? Back over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. What did you do? You helped her. She was hiding. And she didn't need to hide anymore. No more. Wow. Is it a dream? No, it's real. It's really real. Is it really real, God, that you are who you are? That you mean what you say and say what you mean? Did you really take us, me, you, take us to the cross? Did you take us knowing what we are like, even from the start, even until the finish? Would you do that for us? The sacrifice. Wow. It's not a dream. His death on the cross is not a dream. It's not an illusion. It's real. Wow. Now, so no more hiding. God knows all about me. Does God know all about you? How about the part of you? Remember, we shared it 100 times in the process. That down inside, hear you. You and I exercise consciously. What? I just used the only one I know that ever did it. Einstein was supposed to consciously use 2% of his brain. So here's a piece of pie. and 2% of the piece of pie. Let's see how it would look. Something. A little piece of pie. All the rest of it is the person. We aren't conscious of ourselves. That's why as we go along, we keep discovering as we get older, we keep learning things about ourselves. God knows all 100% of you. That's why you don't want to be exposed to God. Because if you know the 2%, and you know you have a very dread of discovering the 98% that's out there. God, it's not a dream. No, you know all about me, all about us. You know all about our thoughts. Every word we have from the day we said mom and dad or gaga or something. You know all our words and all our thoughts and all that we've ever done. God knows my heart, your heart, and your mind. God knows your soul and your spirit. God knows your body, your brains, your bones, your blood. He's your creator. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows every single dot and dash about your life. You have no idea, but God does. And God knows. Now the woman, are you aware? All I know is he knows. Wow. And since he knows, there is nothing he doesn't know. Am I going to think something, say something, or do something that will put me more in danger as I go along life's journey? No, God knows it all. So when I understand the Lord Jesus Christ took me from the day I took my first breath till the day I take my last breath, you know all about me. Wow. All the stuff I'm going to goof up tomorrow, you know all about me. I found him. Come. You mean, I'm going to be careful. He could be the one, you know. Would you like to come and find out? And her excitement, her living vitality in here. For real. They know her, but she's real. And you would have to respond to whatever it is that stirred her up like this and got her so wonderfully to be expressive. It has to be something. We better go check it out. We better go check it out. So in the process, he's the sacrifice. And in the sacrifice, what was the purpose of a sacrifice? To find forgiveness. Do you understand you're forgiven, woman? No. I just know he's the one that forgives. Sin is against whom? God. Who can forgive sin? Only the one who has been sinned against. God. Wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully true. God has gone. The sacrifice. And she knew that. She knew all those sacrifices at Mount Gerizim. She knew all those. They were doing those in Jerusalem up there. But hey, wow, forgiveness. I'm freed, that's right. I'm free, I'm forgiven. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, are you not free? Do you not have some? That's the trouble with the stupid day in which we live. We're so, I'm going to give it to you. Why not? You read things. I try to read it. Just life's so full of everything, I can't keep up with everything. You know, exponentially it goes. But in reading a little, in the Scientific American and other articles. These are other articles that I've got piled up. The Scientific American for February. Reading that. That's a prestigious magazine, you know. Doesn't make you prestigious to have it, but it is prestigious. Now, I'm going to give you, lining up, here's the articles. And they're written not by Stoops. These are the gurus. These are the people, the geniuses out there in California and that are computer. They're computer geniuses. And now listen to this. This is a tale of two internets. I'm going to give you the gist of it. You know, when you look, I had it out here on Wednesday. And here's your little, here's the little internet fits in your hand. And you have the internet. And you use the internet. And you look in the internet. And you do whatever. And you punch and use it. Everything. Now, what you need to know is that all the purpose of internet isn't to make money. It's to use you. That's why they don't care about getting rich, whether you subscribe to the internet. Because it isn't that. Their purpose isn't to make money on your subscription. Their purpose is to use you. They're all saying it, but no one pays it. We don't care anyway. What do we care? We got the internet. And in the process, you look at the internet, and what are they doing? Well, Google, Facebook, that you line them up, they're collecting everything that you do on that internet. And you are profiled. Do you understand? You are being profiled in a most exacting manner. So that, without getting into all of it, you want to buy a sweater on the internet, internet. And what do you know? They have already profiled you for that sweater when you punch it in. You will never see it anywhere else because you're punching it in and it's your profile. So now, if you can pay $25, does the sweater cost $25? $25. They know that. And the price and the sweater will be priced for you. Someone else next door, not so. For you, at the price that you can pay. And if they know you don't like that sweater, they won't even put it on there for you. You will not get loans and all kinds of things, information. Because you are profiled. And being profiled. So everything you want from the internet is governed by what they want you to know. They control you. You think you're in control. On the contrary, we're developing a system that is totally dominating our loans, what we read, what we think, what we do, what we want to buy, what we want, groceries, whatever. It's all profiled for you. And when you punch in, that's what you're going to get. You aren't going to get my profile. You're going to get your profile. I don't have a profile because I don't have a computer. I don't have a face. I don't have anything. There's no way you're going to get me. I don't exist. You see. Do you understand that? If you look in God's Word. But we aren't. We're looking in the internet and the system. It's an interesting article. Wonderful. The whole pile of them. They keep coming out. These are CEOs of companies, computer companies. Wow. You say, is anyone conscious of it? You say, well, what I got on the thing, that was for you. Definitely just for you. They're controlling. And can you imagine? I don't want to lose it. You understand what's going to happen with the Antichrist? The system, we're caught. Pretty soon you're going to have to go to the system. You're talking about chips. They're already telling you about chips. Chips in your credit card, chips everywhere. And that's a chip, but you're profiled. You're in the system. You say, boy, We're free. No, we aren't. We're slaves. And what, not you, but the system out there is too stupid. And they just went and did an, anyway. Would you let me go? Yeah, you get it. I just want you to know, for me, for you, the woman is exposed. She's a sinner. She's forgiven. She's freed. She has been exposed and realized that everything about her, good or bad, that she knows and doesn't know, God knows. And God is the perfect sacrifice. God has given perfect forgiveness. And God has set her free. Set her free. So now that in the process of being set free, she can exercise herself. She doesn't have to hide anymore. Would you go over with me, please? Over to two places. Over, please, to James chapter 1. James, I wish I could help you more. But just want you to know what it when you get saved. When you really get saved. That's the trouble with us today. People are caught up. They can't give themselves as they are. They're looking at the system to analyze. They just had a thing. I don't understand it. Oh, with a football player? Is that? With a football player with a girl that doesn't exist. Now, if you marry a girl that doesn't exist, it's very inexpensive. James, we ought to look. They're looking at the internet, and the internet is looking at you, and it sees you, and it tells you what you're going to do. And the more information they collect, and they sell it. They sell the information, your profile, to each company, to everybody that wants to know, and then you go, and they sell it to you. Everything is programmed for you, to fit you. What food you like, what price you can pay, whether they would dare offer you a loan at a given credit, a given coupons, whether they would give you coupons. When you punch it in, it won't even show up because they said no coupons for you. And you couldn't get them. Not you, someone else could get them. But you couldn't get them. No, sir. Wow. Now, James, quickly, verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I don't want to look at this internet that on the other side it's my enemy. I want to look at God's word. And who's on the other side of the God's word? God is. The system, the world system, is trying to conform me to its image. And I'm going to look in the Word of God, and God is going to conform me to His image. I'm going to look to God. Now, in the light of that, we want to be free, forgiven, free, favored. Wow. Wow. All of a sudden, you didn't even do it. I just know it's the one. God, you're the one. That's right. And He's smiling. He's able to save us to the uttermost. Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, you remember the man, the demonic man, and the Lord passes through, and the demonic man, the demon, etc. And in the process, he cried out, verse 7, with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is his name, thy name?" And he said, And he answered, "My name is Legion, for I am many, many, many," like a legion, Roman army term. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. He sent them into swine, remember? 2,000 pigs that they shouldn't have had were up there, and they had a pig farm, pigs, and the spirits, demons, got into the pigs because they didn't want to be unoccupied. So they got in the pigs, and the pigs roll off of the cliff, all 2,000 of them, and died. And you would have had a good cook. Hope the water was hot down there. Man, you would have had something. Wow. Now, but here's the man. In verse 15. Now the people of the town, they knew he was a violent, fearsome man. And they came to Jesus, verse 15, and see him that was possessed with the devil, the demon, and had the legion sitting and clothed, not violent, not breaking chains or anything, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were applauded. Someone got their act right, got their health back, and sitting in his clothes, and he thinks right. You can say hello, and he's very courteous and kind and thoughtful. They were afraid of him. Anyone that is freed, favored, forgiven, what do you do with that person? I'm a church member. I'm a Baptist, Methodist, a loyalist, a communist, a Muslim. What? Well, then you can be that. But to be a person that is able to be open, exposed, nothing to hide. That's why the Apostle Paul, dear friends, that's why the Apostle Paul met on the Damascus Road. The Apostle Paul, in all his testimony, he shared, I am essentially the chief of what? Sinners. I murdered Christians. I'm the chief one. And he did, without hesitation, he shared his heart, because his heart, in his heart, was found the Son of God who saved him and forgave him and set him free from all his guilt and all his fears and all his faults. He set him free. And the Apostle Paul tells us in his wonderful, wonderful way, for me to live is what? Christ, and to die is great advantage. Wow. I'm free. Are you free? Are you free? All the rotten stuff in this, that's wow. I don't care. Sure I am. So are you, but you don't want to know it. You are. God knows. And when you get God in there, get in your heart right, you're freed. You don't have to sit and cover up. I'm a lousy, rotten sinner. Saved by the grace of God. And apart from the grace of God and me trusting him, I'm going to show I'm a lousy, rotten sinner. But when I do, I want you to know I have a wonderful Savior, so that I can deal with it and I don't have to go hide and come to the well in the middle of the day and hide out. I'm not alone. No more hiding. It's not a dream. It's real. That's what people are afraid of. Watch. Watch. Verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with a demon, the devil, and was concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And the man said, boy, I'm not welcomed here anymore. Verse 18, when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the demon, the devil, prayed unto him, the Lord, that he might be with him. And Jesus, verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him, permitted him, allowed him not, did not permit him to stay on board ship. He said unto him, go home to thy friends. Go home to thy friends that are all want to get rid of you. Go home to your friends. What for? And tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis, the 10 cities, how great things Jesus had done for him. He was free, you see, able to say something from his heart. He didn't have to apologize for it. He wasn't ashamed of it. Wonderful God has saved me. And we aren't talking about being perfect. We're talking about being being wonderfully saved, by cleansed by the blood of Christ, made a new creature in Christ. Wow. What a wonderful thing. That's what he did for the woman. All she did is discover who he was. And changed the whole world. And all the town's going to come. All the town's going to come. And the Lord's going to spend 2 days with them. Just talking to, you're a nobody. I'm a nobody. But we're in the presence of God, who is somebody. And he's just as concerned about you as he is about that woman. And he knows all about you. Wonderfully so. So I don't have to hide. I don't hide from my health problems, my social problems, my mental problems, my ignorance. I don't have to hide from it. I am what I am. And then Paul will say, like in 1 Corinthians 15, I am what I am, but by the grace of God. Wow. I can be what I am not. I can become what I never could become. I am. I am his, and he is mine. Huh? Wow. You got the stuff, don't you? What a wonderful thing. God just met the woman. That's what he did for her. We're all hard. Yeah, no, come on. You don't know how to relax. Relax, relax. Say, what are they going to find out about you? All I'm going to do, all I can say is about each one of you, you are a rotten, low-down sinner. How's that? I can say that about each one of you, so we'll start off well. You are nobody. So we'll all get along good. So now what are you going to tell me? Some bad thing you did? I already said you were a low-down, rotten sinner. You're freed. So you don't have to tell me any bad thing. You can tell me all the bad things you want. You're freed. I'm free. You see? Wow. Our Father in God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts and help us. And our God will thank you very, very much. Spirit of God, do the work. Make the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ the perfect substitute, the perfect Savior, the perfect sacrifice, who perfectly satisfies, God, all that you demand. God, thank you. So looking to you, God, to help us for the weak, for the sick, for the wayward people come and go. God, may we be found among those that have been, that have discovered you, and being discovered, we are set free. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And you may want to turn in your hymn book to number 417.